There was a TV program series on a number of years ago that I quite liked. This was the strap line, if I can get this up here, that was part of this television series. Is it there, Micah? There it is. The truth is out there. Can you remember the TV program? The X-Files, very good, the X-Files. It was quite a good series. It was to do with life out there. The truth is out there. Is there really something more than we see? And every episode was trying to uncover something dark and something mysterious. There's a group of people who are very much interested in the supernatural and the paranormal. And about life beyond what you see. It's not just what you see here and now, but there's other things out there. And the simple truth is, most people don't really take these things seriously. They think, well, really, what we see is all there is, and there is no other world, perhaps. There is no supernatural world. Things like angels and demons and the person of Satan himself and heaven and hell. This life is really all there is. And yet there are others who believe all of this and concentrate on the darker side of these things to their hurt and so forth. But the simple truth is, the truth is out there. There is a supernatural world. There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is angels, there is demons. And despite the fact that many people do not take this seriously, the Bible takes it seriously. And Jesus takes it seriously. And this is what you see in the passage before us. Sometimes as Christians we don't take this seriously. But Jesus' teaching here is in some ways quite dark. Because he's talking about sin in this passage. He's talking about the devil himself. He mentions him. He is very personal. He talks about him, the devil himself. He talks about his historic existence. He was a liar from the beginning and so forth. And this passage here is dark in that it teaches us about sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin, you could say, as well as the personality of the devil himself. And what Jesus teaches here is very important. And it's very important because Jesus mentions the word truth 7 times. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. There is another world. There are other reasons why we sometimes do what we do. And in other words, the truth is out there in that sense. And this is what Jesus reveals to us in this passage. This morning we're continuing our series of studies in the Gospel of John. We're learning more about Jesus, who he is, why he came. We're learning something, certainly this morning, about ourselves. Last time you remember that Dan preached on the earlier verses from verse 12 onward, and we encountered Jesus' statement, I am the light of the world. Dan reminded us that our natural condition is in darkness. We do not understand. We prefer darkness. Jesus comes to dispel the darkness. He comes with truth. He comes to tell us what is true and what is false. And last week, you remember, verse 30, we left it there. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. And then in verse 31, Jesus now teaches those people. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These are great verses. We'll consider them in a moment or two. But notice who Jesus is speaking to here, to those who believed in him. Jesus tells this, but then he then goes on to say quite startling things. You belong to your father, the devil. He says to people who believed in him. And right at the very beginning, you see it's one thing to profess faith, to believe something about Jesus, but not really to be a Christian, and not really to belong to God. And not really to have your sins forgiven, and still to be a slave to sin in that way. The teaching here really is very, very profound. As I says, it's quite scary, because Jesus is speaking to those who put their faith in him, who believed in him, and yet remained children of the devil. One of the commentators says, who's he really speaking to here? It's more likely that John is speaking of people who had made an outward profession, but a profession that did not go very deep. They'd said, yeah, we believe in Jesus, we like what we hear, but that's all it was. Many people believe in Jesus. Demons exist and believe in Jesus, but they do not trust in him for salvation. And this is the difference. And this is quite a serious passage. Jesus says, in this dangerous spiritual condition, these are people who believe, who profess to believe, but do not hold, note that, who do not hold to his teaching and live a righteous life. So let's look at the human condition in this passage, because that's what we see here. We see that people are not only in darkness because they don't understand, they are in darkness because they prefer sin. They are held under the power of sin and the power of the wicked one. And that is the condition of the world today. It's a horrendous condition that people sin not just because they get things wrong, they sin. We sin because we are sinners by nature. It's within us to reject God, to go our own way. That is the human condition. And Jesus likens the human condition to the characteristics of the devil himself. We are of our father, the devil, rather than of God. And in this passage, Jesus basically presents two fathers. You're either of your father in heaven, or you are of your father, the devil. It's a very serious passage, but it explains the world, and it helps us realize the plight that those who do not know Jesus are in. But it should cause you to rejoice, if you're a Christian here this morning, that you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. And that should, if there's anything that you possess, that is the best thing. You have eternal life through Jesus. So Jesus will present this dark side in many ways, but he finishes by saying, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He comes to destroy the works of the devil. And that is what the world needs to take seriously. The truth is out there. There is another world out there of demons and Satan, of a spiritual realm. And we behave in a particular way because of that and because of who we are. So I only have 2 points this morning. And these are the 2 main points that Jesus is making here. First of all, then, children of the devil. Even as I put that title, I just thought, really, do I really want a title called Children of the Devil? It just seemed wacky. And imagine somebody coming in from outside and hearing a Scotsman and Children of the Devil, and they'd just go, these folk are off their head. I'm out of here. Children of the Devil. It just seems too wacky, too out there to even believe. The world denies his existence, denies who he is. And yet, this is what Jesus is talking about in this whole section. He's addressing people who believe, who have come to faith. Look at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus says. And Jesus is about to show these Jewish believers that recognizing the truth but doing nothing more about it, you remain an enemy of God and of Jesus. And also we see that there's a powerful spiritual force that would hold would-be believers from going on with Christ. They believe something, but they just remain there and still in their sin. They don't know. They believe things about Jesus. They might even like him. They might even embrace him to a certain extent. But their sins are not for, they are not set free in their hearts and in their minds. And Jesus is about to teach people in that position that they are not free, that they are a slave, and that he comes to set them free. Look at verse 34. I tell you the truth. There is the truth. I tell you the truth. What is the truth? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He makes it plain that people are slaves to sin. And because of this, we resemble mostly our father, the devil, or the devil himself. And what I want to do under this heading is to look at the characteristics that Jesus presents of those who resemble the father, the devil. You either resemble one or the other. And there are characteristics that the devil has that we see in people today. It's quite scary. People don't worry about this. They don't care. It doesn't matter. They're not concerned about this in the slightest. And Jesus wants to make them concerned that this is where they stand. First of all, they cannot understand. Look at verse 33. The answer to him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we've been set free? Well, first of all, they're not telling the truth. They're under Roman oppression. They've been under oppression in Egypt and Babylon and so forth. They've been slaves. The whole history is one of slavery. And the things that they're saying, they're latching onto the fact that they are Abraham's descendants. But that's not the slavery that Jesus is talking about. They don't understand. They're not spiritually awake to what Jesus is saying. He's talking about that they are slaves to sin. And it's not just of the intellect that they don't understand. They don't get their natural condition. They don't see their blindness. They don't see their slavery. Look at verse 43. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. Verse 45. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not really believe me. In other words, you say you believe, but you really still don't get this. And people don't realize that they're blind. They don't realize that they're in bondage to sin. They don't realize that when they read God's word, they think they understand it. And they don't understand it. They don't take sin seriously enough. The Jews fall back on their religion, and this is often the case. When people want to feel better about themselves, they resort back to their place of privilege, whether it's in society, I'm doing okay, or whether it's in the nation or religion, and we think, well, I'm okay, I'm doing okay, I have a system of beliefs, and this will see me through. And Jesus comes in, he says, you do not understand spiritual truth. You just don't get it. And as a result of this ignorance, they show that they belong to the devil. Verse 44, he states it very plainly. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We note two things. Murder. The devil, he says, is a murderer from the beginning. You belong to your father. He was a murderer. You are a murderer. How was the devil a murderer? He was the greatest murderer. When he enticed Adam to sin, Adam died spiritually. He murdered him spiritually in that sense. He was cast from the presence of God. And as one of the commentators says, Satan thus became the murderer of the whole human race. The reason we have funerals, the reason people die, the reason we do not live forever is because of sin and Satan's temptation to man in the garden. He's a liar. Did God really say, you will not surely die? And he takes God's word. He's not interested in God's word. He will believe anything else rather than God's word. His desire is to destroy. And Jesus says that these people are similar. They do not want Jesus as Satan didn't want God. He didn't want God's righteous rules and regulations. He rejected him. He was an angel, good angel, who had fallen. He rejected God, and that's what they are doing. And Jesus knows that they are not only ready to kill him, that they will succeed, that they will kill him. They will put him on the cross. That is their only desire. They will later cry, away with him. We do not want this man to rule over us. What shall I do with this man? Crucify him. And Jesus knows this. He knows that's what's in their heart. They have rejected him. They have rejected his word. They do not understand. And these are the characteristics of the wicked one himself. People today are not interested in truth or right or wrong. They want what they want. Don't tell me not to eat the apple. If I want to eat the apple, I will eat the apple. A complete and utter rejection of God. This is the human condition. It is not just failure. It is active rebellion against God. That is the seriousness. I think even as I say this, it just seems so harsh, but this is the condition of the world. The natural condition of the world is we resemble our father, the devil, in that sense. We have the same ideas, the same mindset, the same heart's desire. And that's what Jesus is saying. I mean, if you're wanting to win friends and influence people, you don't preach this sermon. You don't say this to them. I think if folk came and we said something and there were folk who said, I like Jesus, I believe in him, we'd be baptizing them next week. But Jesus comes and he challenges them. Now, making a profession of faith is not what matters, but it's only those who hold on to my word, thus proving that you belong to God. And we'll look at this in a minute when we look at the children of God. But Satan has no interest in them, or you or me, or the truth. He rejects Jesus' teaching as people do today. They have the same mindset. Did God really say? Does God really exist? They are so bold in this. In London especially, Edinburgh as well, cities are usually more arrogant in this way. And running after trinkets and things and money and possessions and becoming their own God and worshipping the God of entertainment and running after things. And do not tell me what to do. There is no right and wrong. There is no God. Speaking to the undertaker just last week there on the way back from Lynn's, and says, there's my card, he knew Simon, he knew others, if you're looking for a Christian funeral. And he says, to be honest, John, most people here do not want a funeral with God in it. They've rejected God. They want a secular funeral, a humanistic funeral, to make them just feel good and about the person himself. They have rejected God and to rule over them. And this is what Jesus is saying. Unless they embrace him and his word, they can believe what they want to believe, but they are not real disciples. They are still in bondage to sin. And as a result of this, as a result of believing lies and rejecting God, in a sense murder, we do not want this man to rule over us, their deeds are evil. Look at verse 38. I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence, and you do, not the word do, what you have heard from your father. Verse 44, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's. This is not just a belief system. This is a way of life. And note the word want. The actual Greek word here, to carry out, means it's continuous, and it points to attitude. They're not just doing it because they can't help but do it. In a sense, that is true. They are sinners by nature. We need a power higher than us to transform us. And that's why Jesus comes, to give us that. But they want to do it. When there's jealousy, anger, pride, greed, stabbings, whatever, these things come from within us because we want them. And when somebody lives like that, they resemble the devil more than they resemble God. Can you see that? Can you see the seriousness of this? They're thinking they're okay. We're religious. We're coming to church. And Jesus says, no, look at the things that you're doing. Who do you resemble? You resemble your father, the devil. And Jesus comes in contrast, verse 46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? It's quite a statement. No other person in the human history can make that statement. This is somebody who's so intimate with the Father, he is sinless. Can you prove me guilty of sin? And therefore, if I am from the Father and I am guilt-free, listen to what I'm saying. Why don't you believe? They should be listening. If there's anybody they should listen to, it is Jesus. But they do not understand. Their minds are darkened. They desire the things that are anti-God, that are anti-Christ. They've rejected God's word. They do not believe Jesus when he constantly teaches them. They do not get it. And as a result of this, look at verse 42, they have no love for Jesus. They do not love him. If God were your father, you would love me. You would know who I am. You would embrace me. For I came from God and now I'm here. And the sad thing, that's not just their condition. As I said, it's the natural condition of each one of us. Spiritually dead, in darkness. We do not want God and his word. Look back to your life before you became a Christian. I certainly wasn't interested. I lived for myself and my own rules and my own regulations. I wasn't interested in reading God's word or even trying to understand it. I didn't love Jesus. I knew him. I probably believed he existed. I had no reason to doubt that he didn't exist. But I didn't know him and I certainly didn't love him. And in other words, I resembled the works of my father, the devil. That's where I was. When Jesus says you're a slave, you are chained up to these beliefs, chained up in a dark, dingy prison. That is your life outside of Christ. And that's what Jesus really wants to communicate to them. The condition is universal. Is Paul exaggerating when he speaks in Romans 3? What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Speaking of Gentiles, speaking of people from Glasgow or wherever you're from, not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, in other words, he quotes scripture. He quotes God. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. The way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is the devil. We resemble him in our natural condition. And the most frightening thing in this condition is this. We have no ability to break free from this. And that is the thing that should scare us to death. It's not just the knowing of this. Well, I'll thanks for that, Pastor. Next week I'm going to try and do a few more things. We are slaves to sin. The one who sins, whether they acknowledge it or not, are a slave to sin. And that's what Jesus really wants to communicate to them. They don't think they're in slavery. They think they're fine. And he wants to communicate to them that I have come to free you from slavery. That's why I'm here. But you don't recognize you're a slave to sin. And that's what he's trying to teach them. They don't understand. They're in darkness. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And therefore, to break away from sin and the power and the penalty of sin, we need a power greater than our own. And if only the world knew that or believed that, they would turn to Jesus. And they would see their wretched condition and know that in every funeral they do not automatically die and are welcomed into the presence of God with open arms. The Bible does not teach that. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you too will likewise perish. And that's why he comes. Jesus comes as a savior to save us from sin and the penalty of sin and to bring us back to God. We sin and we cannot stop sinning. Try and obey the Ten Commandments, even for one day. Try and obey them as Jesus presented to them. If anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he's committed adultery already. If somebody's angry with his brother, he's as good as murdered them. The standards of God are infinitely high. No human being can reach these standards. And if we took God seriously and his word seriously, we would fall at his feet and say, Lord, save me. Depart from me. I am a man of unclean lips. That is the natural response to seeing you in your real condition. We've also failed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. We fail. There is no one righteous, not even one. And this teaching of Jesus is not only that we sin, we keep on sinning, we cannot stop sinning, we like darkness. That is the human condition. That is why this East Finchley needs a church. it needs a Baptist gospel preaching church. It might be Methodist, or I'm not denominationally narrowing this down, but we need a church that preaches the gospel. In every street, in every town, London needs to hear, East Finchley needs to hear. It's not all about hot dogs and music stands and carnivals, great fun as they are. If East Finchley needs a dentist and a supermarket, it needs a church more than anything. Or its eternal destiny lies in this. So it's this situation that Jesus comes in. Whoever does what is sinful, John says in 1 John 3, is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Hear that? If you sin, it's because you're of the devil. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that's what he mentions now. And I'm going to go through this quickly. To see that if the Son sets you free into this horrendous... I don't think I've painted the situation black enough. I wish I could. Who was it? Was it Jonathan Edwards preached that? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Have you ever heard that sermon and people were clinging onto the pillars, feeling in that sermon that hell was just around the corner for them? This is not just an intellectual exercise. This is really our condition outside of Christ. It's the condition that our loved ones are in. You're either a child of the devil, or secondly, you're a child of God. As there are characteristics of those who are children of the devil, who reject God and his word, don't think they need Jesus, do away with Jesus. They are still in bondage to sin and still under his control. Children of God are different. We belong to God. Jesus tells us this. We looked at this in an earlier teaching in John 6. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me never drive away. This is the will of him who sent me, that I will lose none of all that he has given me. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God comes to us in this condition. We do not know why, but he chooses us. He pours out his Spirit upon us, his life-giving Spirit. He is the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. He pours out his Spirit. We don't know why. I don't know why in May the 12th, 1980, I was granted to see my human condition. Tears streaming down my face. I messed God about, if you're real, prove yourself, God. Prove yourself for a year and a half. And in one moment, sitting in a big meeting on a chair, God convicted me of sin. Showed me, how dare I put God in the dock and ask him to dance to my tune? He was placed in the throne, and I was placed in the dock. Lord, be merciful to me. And he points not only to my sin, because he'll always show you your sin before he shows you his Son. Showing you the Son without the sin doesn't make sense. Once you see your sin, then you... The Son makes sense. You love the Son. And Jesus says, why is it that some folk believe? Because they belong to God. Look at verse 47, the very last verse. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear, you who profess to believe, is that you do not belong to God. If they are real and true disciples, it's because they belong to God. They've been chosen. They've been granted new birth. They hear. Look at verse 29. The work of God is this. Oh, sorry. This is John 6, 29. The work of God is this. Is to believe the one that he has sent. Ephesians 2. You were dead in your sins. All of us once lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. That's what Paul says. We were just the same. But we're the same as them. We're the same as the world. We followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Here's Paul saying the truth is out there. There is another world. We lived according to the rules of that world. But God made us alive. Like the rest, we were by nature. Note that, nature. Not just by deeds, but by our very nature, objects of wrath. That is the human condition, under the wrath of God. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. We've been set free from sin and the power of sin, its penalty. Here is the testimony of every Christian. I love the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It's one of my favourite chapters. You want to know what a Christian is? You want to know what a Christian testimony is? This is the testimony that your testimony should be if you're a Christian. For we know, brothers loved by God, there it is, you belong to God, that he has chosen you. How did Paul know this? Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. In other words, how do we know God's chosen you? Because when we preached, you felt your sin. You felt convicted of your sin. And then what does he say? In verse 9 and 10, they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Wow, do you see what Jesus has done? He comes to rescue us from wrath. He comes to rescue us from the righteous anger of God against our rebellious sin, against the fact that we've lived our whole life following our father, the devil. But we need to be saved. If that's your epitaph, if you die without a Christian, son of the devil. But what a frightening thing. Rather than son of God, child of God. Isn't that a strapline you want on your, here lies John Lowry, boom, there's the dates, son of God, child of God. My mum's epitaph is one of the Psalms, for God will receive me. He's redeemed my soul and he will receive me. We've been set free from sin. We have come to experience the person and work of Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus sets us free. You will know the truth. The truth will set us free. Now, what is the truth that sets us free? It is not intellectual truth. It is saving truth. Leon Morris says this: it is the truth that saves people from the darkness of sin, not that which saves them from the darkness of error. It's truth that not saves you not from error, but from sin. And that is the truth that we hear and that we embrace. We hear the truth that we are sinners. We hear the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he died on the cross for our sin. We hear the truth of the gospel, and we are set free. That is the truth that we hear. Saving truth. Salvation. Jesus, remember, was handed a scroll and he unrolled it and found Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Do you realize that you are held in sin and under the power of the wicked one? And Christ has come. And he has broken those chains that bound you. His Spirit has been poured out on you. You see, you understand, you see your sin, you see Jesus, you see God, you run to him, you fall at his feet at the cross, and you love him as a result. That is the difference. Verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. There's the test. If I said to you this morning, do you love Jesus? You might say yes, and have every right to say why. And you need to be able to answer that. Not because he's your sunbeam or something airy, fairy, something that looks good in an embroidery in your house, or because your mum loved him. Why do you love him? Because he came and he died for your sins and he died for my sins and he rose again and he goes to prepare a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. This is Lynn's hope just now as she lies in her bed. Not a particularly comfortable bed. I had a wee lie on it before she had a lie on it. And you think, that is her hope. We are free from sin, free to experience joy, peace that we've never known before, a hope. We love Jesus. We love him because of what he's done for us, because of who he is. And look at verse 35, we become family. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And as a result of this, we have a new obedience. This brings us back full circle to where we come, and this I'm finished. If you want to know, you might be here and you say, well, I believe, I have faith. Jesus says, if you're really my disciples, you will hold on to my teaching. You will know the truth. You've already done this. If you become a Christian, you've embraced the teaching. You've heard it. I'm a sinner. I need to repent. Jesus is the Savior of the world. I want to be saved. And you've embraced this. But not only this, you want to continue in it. You want to hold to his teaching. I don't know about you, I love the Gospel of John. I love God's Word. Do you love God's Word? Do you love his Word? I know quiet times can sometimes be a burden. Oh dear, I've got my 3 chapters to read and this is happening and my back's sore. And it can be like that. The Bible can sometimes be dry as dust. Let's be honest. We go through these peaks, but that's because of our human weakness. That's not because of the Bible. That's because of us. But we know deep down, if somebody said to us, you cannot read your Bible anymore, that's probably the worst thing that could happen to us this side of eternity. You can't read your Bible. We love God's Word. We love the Saviour. Real disciples continue. We hold, not the word hold, to the teaching of Jesus. This is what sets us free when we're beginning to doubt. We hold to his teaching and know that he's going to prepare a place. When we doubt that he hears our prayers, we know that he ever lives to make intercession for us. When we doubt if there's a heaven and an earth, we hold to his teaching and know that one day he will come back and take us to be with him. And we love 1 Corinthians 15, that this body will be clothed with immortality. And aches and pains will be gone. And we love Revelation, where there will be no more tears or sorrow or pain. We hold to his teaching day by day. We love his teaching. So here's the conclusion. Who do we resemble most? Children of the devil? The natural man? Because they resemble the devil, so did we. No desire for spiritual truth. We believe a lie. We reject Jesus. We disobey God's word. We have rejected God. We do not love the Son. We are slaves to sin, and it doesn't worry us. Or are we children of God? We belong to him. We've been made alive. We understand spiritual truth. We've embraced the Son. We love him. We love his work, his person. We've been adopted into his family, and we have a new obedience. We've been set free. We want to follow Jesus and his word. All of this is proof that if the Son has set us free, you are free indeed. You are indeed free this morning if you love the Son. Let's close by singing together. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea.